I want to begin this morning with a little trivia. What was the first fast food restaurant in America? Anybody? What's that? McDonald's. Burger Chef. Boy, there ain't no more Burger Chefs around, is there? Did you say that one? I don't know that one, but I'll take your word. Huh? White Castle is it. And there's no prize, but you did get it right. No, Mary got it. And Mary don't Google. You don't Google, do you, Mary? Mary's not a Googler. That's Mary, I wouldn't have said that because it started in 1916. Yeah. I'm just, the next question was, what year did it start? But you've already told us now. It's 1916. You remember that. Do you remember where it was?
I remember it 1969.
Okay. Anybody know where it was at? No. Wichita, Kansas. How did fast food start in Wichita, Kansas? What else do they got there? I don't know. Now, this one's not necessarily a sermon, but it's an additional trivia question. Just kind of go along with this. What was the first restaurant that had curbside service where they brought the food out to you?
Beverly.
What was it?
Beverly.
I've never heard of that. Beverly. What was that? A&W Root Beer. That was it. Absolutely. A&W Root Beer. And I don't anybody say I was around when that happened because that was 1920s. Fast food restaurants are one of many examples that we live in a day and age where we want everything now. The key phrase a lot of the internet service providers used to get their customers is high-speed internet. Everyone wants the fastest internet service they can get because we don't want to have to wait an extra couple seconds for a page to open up. Most of you know waiting a few extra seconds for a page to open up can seem like an eternity. And I'm sure a lot of you are like me that when a page isn't opening up as quick as you want it to or as quick as you think it should, you begin to talk to the computer saying, come on, come on. Companies like Time Warner Cable or Netflix, they have what's called on-demand movies. I've even heard it's in the gaming area, I don't know. But you push a button or two and you just instantly have a movie pop up. Retailers and delivery services, they've made a fortune on advertising same-day deliveries simply because people don't want to wait a couple extra days to get their product. For a while now, a lot of community or local colleges have boomed simply because they now offer four-year degrees in 2 years or a two-year degree in 1 year. Everything today is about speed. How to get it done in half the time, and how to get it done now. And if we don't get what we want when we want it, something must be wrong. And people are always willing to pay just a little more money for quickness and speed. We live in a society where we want everything yesterday. Now, there's some irony to all this because the Bible says we're made in the image and likeness of God, right? Yeah, let me ask you, have you ever seen God in a hurry for anything? Let me ask you something. Can anyone give us an example from the Bible where God is in a hurry? And we can wait if you've got that answer. We'll be waiting a long time. There is none. It's ironic that we're called to be like Christ, but Christ was never in a hurry for anything at all. Yet we are always in a hurry. If you remember in Genesis 3, Jesus promised Adam that a Savior would come, and it took him 4,000 years to do it. When God promised Abraham and Sarah a son, how long did it take? No. Where's the Wednesday night people? No. Take your 15 and your 10 and you got the answer. There, leave it to somebody in accounting to figure that out. 25 years. When God gave Joseph a dream and a vision, God took 13 years to carry that out. He promised the Israelites a land during the days of Abraham, and it took how many years? Come on, Wednesday crowd. 430 years. Here's what I'm saying, folks. I am saying God is slow. But even though God is slow, God is never too early, and God is never too late. Matter of fact, God is an on-time God every time. Do you remember the words Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:8? Anybody? Something about 1,000 years and a day, or... You've read that before. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And then in verse 9, Peter goes on, he adds, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness." In other words, we understand slowness differently than God does. So let's take our Bibles out. Let's turn to the first chapter of the book of Psalms, and let's be quick about it. And for those of you that might be slow getting there, don't tell me you're trying to be more like God. Psalm chapter 1. Are we there? All right. These verses look familiar? Huh? No. Why? Oh, yeah. We just looked at these 2 weeks ago. I was hoping somebody might remember that. We're just going to look at the first three verses. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." Now, the primary lesson here is obviously aimed at individuals. After all, verse 1 begins with, "Blessed is the man." But this morning, I want to change the man part and put church in there. And so these verses could read, "Blessed is the church who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But the church's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law the church meditates day and night. That church is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and in whose leaves does not wither. Whatever that church does prospers." Now, you always have to use great caution when you change something in the Word of God if it changes the meaning of what God is trying to say. But in this particular case, putting the church in there instead of an individual doesn't change the meaning at all. A couple weeks ago, when I taught on these verses, I had no intention of coming back from vacation and teaching on them again, but while I was off, I'd finished a couple books. And they're books that will never be bestsellers. I can name them, you will have never heard of them. But they are books that I believe are truly needed for the church, simply because they are not the kind of books that many Christian authors would write. They are books that are they just go against the mainstream way of thinking about the size of a church. In a nutshell, they talk about the fruit of the church and how over the last 30 years or so, The church as a whole has been misled to believe that the fruit of a church is defined by its numbers. And that if a church isn't doing what it's supposed to be, that if a church is doing what it's supposed to be doing, the size of the church will get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you've been around me long enough, you know I've talked about this subject many times. And I'll talk about it many more times. But I feel that it is a subject that needs to be talked about every so often, because that thought process of the fruit of a church is always numbers has become so ingrained in our minds that it causes us to become frustrated when we don't see a church growing the way we think it should grow. We're all familiar with terms like fast food. We all know high speed. We all understand on demand. But folks, throughout Scripture, God uses words like wait, patience, perseverance, in season, endure, in time. And then God uses phrases like that one there in verse 3 that says, which yields fruit in season. It's a way of letting us know that producing fruit takes time. No farmer has ever planted a fruit tree today, walked out tomorrow, and had fruit on it. I've never heard of it. As a matter of fact, once you've planted a fruit tree, it typically takes anywhere from 2 to 4 years before it begins to produce quality fruit. Now, I know pecans aren't fruit, so don't holler that back at me, but a pecan tree can take anywhere from 4 to 8 years before it begins to be productive. And so let me ask you, who designed fruit trees to be so slow in their production process? Anybody? Well, let's go with God. That'd be a safe answer. So here's another question. If you plant an apple tree and you don't see any apples for 3 or 4 years, does that mean that the tree is failing to do what it's supposed to do? Absolutely not. As a matter of fact, what is going on during the time before the visible fruit is produced is crucial for the health of the fruit. When it does begin to develop. When you first plant a fruit tree, the roots themselves begin to absorb the water and the nutrients from the soil. The nutrients in the water begins to work its way through the tissues of the trunk. And from there, they spread out through branches, which in turn produces leaves. And that happens for a few years. And at just the right time and in the right season, you begin to have fruit. If that tree produces fruit too soon, the branches are going to be too weak to support it, and it will not be high-quality fruit. God has pre-programmed fruit trees to work that way. Now, certainly, we can do some things that will change that to some level. We can do some things that might speed up that process a little bit, but you are not going to get you're not going to plant an apple tree in May and have apples by August. It's not going to happen. And you are not going to get an apple tree to produce apples in January, no matter what you do, simply because God has pre-programmed it not to. In His omnipotence, God knew what internal things needed to happen on the inside of the tree in order to produce good quality fruit. In God's omnipotence, He knew that. And let me add here, each fruit tree is different. Not every fruit tree produces its fruit in the exact same time and in the exact same season. And again, that's by God's design. By God's design, an apple tree will produce its fruit within 2-3 years, while a pear tree takes 4 to 6 years. Now, how does all that relate to the church? How does that maybe even relate to Grace Baptist Church? First of all, God is the one that preordains the seasons that a church will produce its fruit. The people in a church can do some things and they can try to change some things to speed up that process. But ultimately, God knows when a church is ready to yield its fruit. See, a mistake a lot of people make is they think that the fruit of a church is determined by the things they do. That is why churches are always looking for that latest fad. They're always looking for that latest program. They're always looking to see what this other church over here is doing. They think that if program A worked for the church on the other side of town, the church they visited, then it's bound to work in our church. Now, don't misunderstand me. Churches are to be about doing things. So I'm not saying you don't do anything. I'm saying churches are to be about doing things. We are to be doers. Churches are to be reaching out to people. They're to have different ministries. They're to have midweek Bible studies. They're to have different kids' ministries and so on. But God is more concerned about who we are than what we're doing. Secondly, what is going on inside the church can sometimes be more important than the fruit that it will eventually bear. If you remember a few moments ago, I talked about how when you first plant a fruit tree, the roots begin to absorb the water and the nutrients, and they begin to work their way through the tissues of the trunk. And from there they go and they begin to spread out into the branches, and that produces leaves. And after a few years, that begins to produce that long-awaited fruit. Folks, that's true for the church as well. What happens inside a church and inside the people of a church will play a major role in whether or not the church can even support the fruit God gives them and whether or not it even produces healthy fruit. As the church and the people in the church begins to absorb that nutrition of God's Word through the roots of meditation on God's Word, and as we allow God's Word to work His way through the tissues of our heart and spread out into the branches of our lives, in time or in season, we will begin to produce that fruit. Now, some of you may be sitting there thinking, but we have already been through all that. We have produced plenty of fruit in the past. And so let me remind you of a story Jesus told in John 15, the parable of the vine. And we're told that there are times when God has to do some pruning. Sometimes He needs to cut away the branches that are not producing any fruit, while at the same time cutting away the parts of the tree that might hinder the other branches from producing good quality fruit. When Vic and I bought the house last year, we moved into it. We had a peach tree, it was a peach tree that was producing tremendously. Within a month, the branches begin to break. Matter of fact, that peach tree now is just a stump. It needed pruned. It was producing tremendously, but too much production killed it because we moved in and didn't have it pruned. I remember the other day I read on the subject of pruning, and this guy owned a nursery, and he wrote an article, and in that article he said moderate pruning is one of the most common causes of no fruit production. And folks, as you know, you don't prune a fruit tree today and have fruit the next day. It takes some time after the pruning process before you begin to see the fruit again. Thirdly, a fruit tree does not decide what type of fruit tree it is. In other words, an apple tree cannot decide to be a cherry tree simply because the cherry tree will produce fruit sooner than an apple tree. Their seasons are predetermined by God and they can't change that. And in the same way, just because one church produces fruit within the first year of it being open doesn't mean all the other churches in town are going to do the same. Some churches are more like an apple tree church. They'll produce fruit in 2 to 3 years. Other churches, they're kind of like a pear tree church. It might take them 4 to 6 years. And just because it takes longer for the pear tree to produce its visible fruit, that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with that pear tree. But then there's those churches that, kind of like us, they're full of nuts, and they're more like a pecan tree church that can take 4 to 8 years to produce. I'm sorry, guys. I had to throw that in there. You didn't think I slipped that pecan tree in back there for nothing, did you? Let me ask you something. What would you say to a guy who comes to you and he says, you know, I'm thinking about starting a business growing pear trees. He goes out, he buys 100 pear trees. He knows up front it's going to take 4 or 6 years before they produce any fruit. 3 years into this, he's frustrated because he's not seeing the fruit he wants to see. And he comes to you and he says, I don't get it. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've planted them at the right time of the year. I planted them at the right depth in the ground. I've prepared the soil just right. I've watered them and I've fertilized them. It's been 3 years and they still have not produced any fruit. Would you tell him to quit? Would you say, cut down the trees and start over? Would you say, you know, you've got every right to be frustrated? Would you tell him, well, you know, maybe you need to change whatever you're doing. Maybe you're doing something in right. Would you say, maybe you need to try something new? No. You would say, buddy, don't give up. You knew going into this that it takes at least 4 years before they begin to produce fruit. So just keep doing what you're doing, and when the time is right, you will begin to see its fruit. There's a verse I've leaned on many times over the years when I felt God was not giving me the fruit I deserved. When I thought I deserved it. And it's Galatians 6:9, and here's what it says. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Folks, patience is something we all have to learn. How many times have we prayed over the years, God, give me patience and give it to me now? It kind of reminds me of David. He wrote Psalm 40, and it's funny because in the beginning of Psalm 40, he's having a conversation with someone, and the first thing he says is, I waited patiently for the Lord. As you go through that psalm, there's a transition. He begins to have prayer time to God. And a few verses later, after he says, I waited patiently for the Lord, David begins to cry out to God, oh Lord, make haste to help me. Oh God, do not delay. Isn't that how we are? Give me patience and give it to me now. That is like us. We know that we are to be patient. We know that God is an on-time God every time. But we all seek a high-speed, on-demand God. And so let me give you some God-given advice. Just God-given advice. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 37:7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. And here's one I've leaned on over the years when I thought God was moving too slow for me. Isaiah 40:31. And I would encourage you to jot this one down. Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen? I know this one you guys want to know. Ecclesiastes 3:1, for everything there is a season. Romans 5:4, endurance produces character. James 1:4, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And one we looked at a few weeks back, maybe a month or two ago, Hebrews 12:1, let us run with patience the race that has been set before us. That's just some God-given advice. That's not for me, so I'm not going to charge you for that. Folks, one of the things patience does, it keeps us looking upward instead of around. If every time a church had a program, it produced fruit, the church's faith would be in its programs instead of in God. That's exactly where many churches have their faith today. They don't look upward for their fruit. They look around at other churches to see what programs they're doing so they can then try to duplicate it in their church. There's a guy right here in town, and if I named him, every one of you would know him. He travels to different churches to see what they're doing and comes back and tells his pastor, "We need to do it here. It's working there." Folks, God did not call us to be like the church down the road. He didn't call us to be like the church on the other side of town. Any more than God called that other church on the other side of town to be like us. Not every fruit tree puts apples out. Some's got lemons, some's got oranges. Different looks, different textures, different colors. Every church is not to be the same. Thank God for that. We need to be the church God called us to be. And we need to do the things God called us to do. And when that season is right, God's going to produce some fruit. I want to read something for you from a book titled Dirt Matters. Actually, the deacons have just begun to go through this book. It's a book we're going to be walking through this summer. This guy says, God's view of fruit bearing differs from our cultural expectation of having immediate and measurable results. We need to step back, slow down, work the soil, enrich the land, and trust God. In 2 Kings 19:29 and 30, the Lord told Hezekiah, "This year you will eat what grows by itself, and the second year what springs from that. But in the third year, sow and reap, plant vineyards, and eat their fruit. Once more, a remnant of the house of Judah will take root below and bear fruit above." Notice what God told Hezekiah. The seeds will take root below the surface, and you'll enjoy fruit. Ultimately, it will take 3 years before you see a true harvest. God wanted to bless Hezekiah with abundant fruit, but it wasn't going to come in one day, 1 month, or even 1 year. It was going to be a process that involved time and patience. He goes on, he says, "Before this, in the days of Moses, the Lord spoke to the people and said, 'When you plant a fruit tree, do not eat the fruit for 3 years. Consider it forbidden. The fourth year shall be an offering to the Lord, but in the fifth year you may eat. In this way your harvest will be increased.' God called them to trust Him. And as they obeyed and waited, He promised them an increased harvest. Yet they could not expect to see the outcome they dreamed of until year 5. And he ends it and he says, "Such a mentality flies in the face of modern desire for immediate results, which is why we focus so much energy on the wrong things." Folks, here's what I want you to remember. To become fruitful, we just need to remain faithful. That's simple. Being fruitful is the result of being faithful. God determines the seasons. Our level of patience ultimately reveals our faith in God's Word, His timing, His wisdom, and His sovereignty. I'm going to say it again. Our level of patience reveals our level of faith in God's Word, His timing, His wisdom, and His sovereignty. And I want to close with this. Verse that Vic quoted earlier, 2 Peter 3:8, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day." And he went on and he said, "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness." Says He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So there should be some folks that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They should be grateful that God is patient because He's holding out for them. If you've already accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to be thankful that God is patient because He waited on us to come to repentance. If you're here today and you have never yielded your life to Jesus Christ, He is patiently waiting on you to do so, and that can be today. Because there is a day and time where God, you know, God's not locked into a clock and a calendar, time will come to an end. My question is, are you ready for that day to come? And if you have not, today ask Jesus to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and be the Lord of your life. You can do it where you're at. You can come up here. The altar's open as we sing our final song. If you just want to come up and have prayer time, please feel free to. You know, a lot of times the way God describes us is not ways we like to describe ourselves. And I'm sitting around thinking when we're singing that song, you know, God calls us sheep in the Bible, you know, like some of the dumbest animals there is. And it's kind of like, whoa, He calls us sheep. That's not good. We're impatient people, and He says, you know, we need to be waiting patient on Him. We don't like that, but He knows what He's doing. He knows how to fix us. He knows how to get us ready for whatever it is He's doing. Even if it's a church full of nuts. Thanks, Deb. You know, that just proves we're a pecan tree church, just what you just said. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come to You this morning, Lord. We love You. We thank You that You are the vine dresser. You're the one that does the pruning and the producing. Father, there's no claim here that we're a perfect church. There are things that need to go left, go right, go up, go down. I mean, we need to make changes, but that's true in anything. Father, but ultimately our goal is to be faithful and trust that in time You will bring the fruit. Your Word just kind of teaches that, so we might just want to believe it. Father, we don't know really if we're an apple tree, pear tree, or a nut tree. We just know that You have predetermined when that fruit is going to be produced. We just want to be at Your disposal. We want to be grafted into the vine and allow You to do Your work in us and then through us. Lord, I thank You for this church. I just, after a week's vacation, just really miss this place, miss the people. Missed being up here. And Lord, I just thank You for this church. I thank You for these people. I thank You for this community. We just love You and we thank You in Christ's name. Amen.